What's up, everybody? You are listening to The Future. I'm your host, Chris Doe. On today's episode, we're going to talk about brevity. You know, the opposite of being long-winded. As one of my former EPs used to say, ask me what time it is and I'll tell you how to make a watch. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I want to let you know how you can reach out to me. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at TheChrisDoe. You guys, I'm feeling like I'm in a pretty good mood today, even though I'm getting over this cough of mine. Maybe I have bronchitis, I don't know. If I sound different, that's why. Yesterday we were having a stand-up meeting and talking about things we need to get done for the future. I don't mean that in a kind of metaphorical sense. Really, literally, like we have to build a website, get email addresses set up. And I'm coming to Sharon, I'm like, okay, where are you on your task? And all I wanted to know from her was a yes or no. I did this, I didn't do this. And then Cheryl started getting into this whole giving me reasons. I've been doing this. I was distracted with that. I see your mouth is wide open right now. What do you want to say?
I'm not saying anything, Chris. I am.
Yes?
No, nothing. Please proceed. I have nothing to say at this moment. I will speak extensively in a little bit.
Okay, so we're in the car, just to set the stage, and as we always are, you, me, and Aaron, we're driving out to our favorite watering hole. We eat at Tender Greens, and I had said, you know, I want to help prepare you to go out and sell, and you told me, I've never sold anything before, and this is going to be new. So I said to you, I need to prepare you, and I'm going to give you some critical feedback.
True.
Are you okay with hearing critical feedback, Cheryl?
Are you looking for a yes or no answer?
You okay?
I know you want a yes or no answer, Chris. I am trying so hard. Wait, where's my glass of water? I said
wait,
I have
look.
A prop.
Right, can you hear critical feedback?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay. So that,
what a great yes or no answer.
So, John, today, I think you're trying to make up for the last podcast where now you're paying attention because you might be made fun of or ridiculed later on. So the thing is, I can only coach you if you want to be coached. And some of that, unfortunately, is I have to give you some constructive, aka critical feedback. I want to know if you can handle it or not. I believe you can. So the first thing I said to you, and I'm saying to you now, is when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to sell to them, first of all, let's assume a couple things. If you're talking to them, that means they have more money than you. Because if you're talking to somebody who has less money than you, you're wasting your time because they can't afford you. They're actually looking for a job from you, okay?
Okay.
So they have more money. They're in a position of authority or power, whatever it is that you want, and you want something from them. And you have to realize that people have this also value their time.
True.
They don't have a lot of time. So when they ask you a question, they just want a really straightforward answer. Now,
yeah, but you want to give them all the information so they can make the right decision.
No, I'll give you an example. Cheryl, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
This is a court of law, Cheryl, so you better answer honestly.
No.
Wait, what's your answer? No?
No.
Okay, so do you want to give me more information?
Well, that was an easy one because I have never been. That wasn't one that had a gray area in it. There are lots of questions out there that have a gray area.
Do you want this job?
Yes.
That was a long pause, by the way.
What are you talking about? Okay.
Okay, so in the car.
Oh, there's that cough.
We'll edit that part out. Yeah?
Are we
putting it in? No. We'll edit it out. Okay. So in the car, I asked you, Cheryl, did you wash your hair?
Okay. That required an explanation because you're not supposed to shampoo your hair every day. You're supposed to put conditioning in it, wet and condition. And Chris,
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
I know.
What did you think right when he asked you that? What did you think?
Good question.
I felt like I need to explain the answer if I tell him yes or no because – first of all, I don't want to seem like I'm lying about it, so I need to make sure that we're on the same page when you say, did you wash your hair? So I felt like a yes or no answer would be deceptive in a way if we weren't considering, quote unquote, wash The same thing.
John has his hand on his mouth. Like, what is that about?
Would it benefit the audience if perhaps we did a role play situation of the events that happened so we could understand where Cheryl's coming from? I'd love to hear the question I was asked, and I'd love to hear...
No, that was literally it.
That was it.
Exactly. That was exactly it, John.
Oh, not quite a thrilling story.
Hey, watch your tongue.
I thought there was a little more. Okay, that's fine. That's okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had just told Cheryl that people in positions of power are asking very direct questions. They want a very direct answer.
And you don't want to be like, hold on.
You just cut me off here.
Sorry.
And you don't want to offer up more information than what is being asked of you. It's not being respectful of the person's time. You're not that interesting. I just got to say that, okay? And you're there to serve them and to help them. So you're like, yeah, I got it. So I just turned around immediately after, and Aaron, you could testify to whether or not this happened exactly like this. I turned around and said, Cheryl, did you wash your hair? And then Cheryl like paused for what seemed like an eternity and started saying what she just said. And Aaron and I were just laughing. Like, did you just not hear the advice you were given? Right, Aaron? Even you, Sleepy Castle, hashtag, could notice that right away. Like, she wasn't following along.
Yeah.
I was so...
Hold on. Let me talk.
I felt like what was happening there, when you asked the question to her, I felt like she and I heard a different question.
Oh,
I heard like, are you like, is the reason the car stinks because you didn't wash your hair?
Oh,
is that, or like, your hair is ugly, right? Is it because you didn't wash it?
Subtext is playing a factor here.
She was answering that question.
Okay, so
I felt like,
is that coming from insecurity?
I think so.
What was that coming from, Cheryl?
Okay, that might have been part of it. The real part is I didn't want to seem like I wasn't telling you.
You're shaking the table and the mic.
No, we're good.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, don't do that.
Okay.
Hands off.
I wasn't telling you.
Was that what was happening?
That might have been part of it.
Right.
However, the main focus, the crux of the problem, the reason why I then discarded your advice you gave me 2 seconds before, was because there are exceptions to every rule, and I felt like this perhaps was one. Simply because I didn't want to seem like I would be lying to you if we didn't have the same definition of quote-unquote washed.
Mm. Okay.
I just had a very extensive conversation about washing versus shampooing with my hairdresser a couple of weekends ago. So I wanted to make sure.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You just had a conversation with your hairdresser a couple of weekends ago.
Surely.
And you want to tie that conversation into something very simple. Now, for the context of our audience, I just literally told you, don't do this, do this. It's going to help you in your sales process. And I was thinking, this is the simplest, dumbest test. I'm going to flip it right on you, right then and there. But instead of being there, listening, applying what you learned,
okay,
you went back to a conversation 2 weeks ago. And I wasn't implying anything else except for to see if you could just answer a yes or no question. Okay, now I'm going to tell you guys something. Hold on, everybody, right. Everybody's got the fingers in there. Put your fingers where they belong. Hold on 1 second, okay? Aaron, you guys out there in the field, whether you're interviewing for a job, if you're talking to a prospect, if you're just trying to get a date or whatever, or maybe you meet, I don't know. Do you guys have a situation where you've been asked a question that required a very brief answer and you went on and on about something and it just makes you look bad? It makes you look guilty. It makes you feel, at least for me, I feel like you're not valuing my time and you're just into your own world. And I don't want to work with those kind of people. I'm just saying, from an employer's point of view, as a person who's talking to people, it's annoying. I just want to know what I want to know. And if I have a lot more interest, like, oh my God, tell me, oh, your hair must be a little different. For those of you guys that can't see, Cheryl, you're African-American. She has like a short crop.
I keep it in natural. It's natural fro.
Mini fro, I think we said.
Mini fro. You know,
okay. As the kids say these days.
Yeah.
Just in case the audience was like scratching their head, like, why is this such a complicated
Let's
answer?
Paint us a picture.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you guys, I'm going to give you advice, but then you have to be here. So Aaron or Cheryl or John, do you have a situation where you've been in where somebody should have just given a brief answer?
I actually have a funny story. It happened.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
I love funny
okay,
stories.
Go ahead.
It happened a couple of years back. I was on jury duty.
And, or someplace in the court system.
Or yeah, something to do with courts.
Something
who
in
remembers,
the courts,
right?
Someplace in the court system.
Yeah. And then, okay, so I was in the courtroom, and I think I was in trouble, actually. So I was part of the people that had to stand in front of the judge and plead guilty or not guilty so then they could process my case, whatever. So then we're all us people that want to talk to the judge there in a group in the courtroom, and the clerk comes by and he explains to us, like, this is just a preliminary thing. You just get up in front of the judge and you say guilty or not guilty.
You'll have your day in the court.
And you'll have your day in court to right. explain yourself, give evidence, have a lawyer, all that. But that's later. Today, just, you know, guilty, not guilty. So then this, like, old man gets up there, and the judge asks him, so, you know,
How do you plead?
And he jumps into, okay, well, the thing is, like, that day was a bad day because this and that. And then the judge is like, just, you know, guilty, not guilty, please. And then but the thing is, like, I had to do these things that morning, so I had to park there, whatever. And the judge, I could see, was getting a little pissed off. And the clerk was, like, going like this, covering
what
his
is this?
Face.
Covering
his
face.
Like, my God, this guy's messing it up. And then, yeah, so that was.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second. I assume he was not the first person out to bat. Like, there are a couple of people guilty, not guilty, 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 not guilty, not guilty, right? And then there's a rhythm here. The man steps up. Whether he's old or not doesn't really matter. And he starts going into an explanation, kind of like what Cheryl was doing.
Just dove right into
Pretty
it.
Pretty much.
Like, he didn't even try
right.
to address
it. So hold on. You have your day in court, too. So the judge gave him two or three opportunities to answer it the way he needed to answer it.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you believe in the judicial system of the United States of America, that's a whole different issue. Now I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think the feeling was like in that room? Like, how did you feel? How do you think the judge felt? The other people who were, like, trying to get on with their lives?
I think there was a mixed bag of emotions. I think some people were like me that was like, dude, they told you just guilty, not guilty. Just say that and get out of there. You're kind of wasting my time. You're wasting the judge's time. You didn't follow the instructions they just gave you. Like, you're messing it up here.
So what's the feeling, Aaron? That's not a feeling.
No,
you're just describing.
Like, I'm angry.
Angry?
I'm upset. I'm
frustrated.
Sure the judge
tireless.
The same. Yeah. The judge must have felt the same thing.
Okay. So none of these are positive emotions.
No, negative.
Okay. And whenever I hear a long explanation to a very short question, I start to assume guilt. You know, like when I ask, like, has anybody seen my thing? But Dad, I was... Da-da-da-da. And they get into the long explanation. I'm like, oh my God, that's the kid who took my thing. A yes or a no is all I wanted. And that's what happens. Okay, go ahead, Cheryl. You have
okay.
your day now.
But what I'm saying in our situation, Chris.
Well, first of all, are you listening to the conversation here? Or are you still
totally
stuck on some
listening.
Other conversation? Okay.
I might be stuck on the previous conversation.
Why don't you respond first to this court thing? I think you're stuck.
Is it related to this or is it not?
No, it's related to the thing that she wants to talk about. That's what it's related to.
Cheryl, I would just like to say I think your hair looks fantastic today.
Oh, thank you.
I think so too, by the way.
I put in lots of conditioner this morning.
Hey, cats. Come on, herd yourself in here.
Okay, so all I wanted to comment on was that it depends upon the situation. Like, perhaps in a court of law, you do exactly as the judge asked. If I am in front of a client, maybe you're like a salon I want to impress with my knowledge about the different ways you can wash and condition your hair. So maybe I do launch into something that's a little bit more of an explanation of wash.
So you're
but
saying
perhaps I don't do that in front of a judge, you know? So
okay,
that's all I wanted to say.
But let me say this. Whether you guys realize this or not, those of you guys who are listening to this podcast, wherever you are, you don't realize this, but you're being judged all the time. And when you're talking about going in and doing a new business meeting, I don't want you to be judged as, and the feeling is frustration, anger, anxiety, and getting restless. Think about that, because you had admitted to me, Chris, I don't have any experience selling at all.
Okay.
I have 21 years of experience selling.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, you can do it your way. You could do it Bobby's way, Mary's way, or you can do it my way, or any way in between. That's okay. up to you. But if my experience proves to be true in some kind of guiding force here, I'm just letting you know, you are hanging yourself.
Right, so don't okay? say yes or no to a
right?
yes or no question.
And you guys, if you haven't listened to this, it sounds this is like tangentially related to not going past the sale podcast. listen to that one where we go really deep into not going past the sale. And you might learn who inspired that conversation. Who knows? Okay. Anyways, but getting back to this thing is your desire to explain supersedes the other person's interest. It just really is about you. And you had said it very clearly. I want to impress you with my knowledge of hair and shampoo and conditioning techniques. So who is that about? That's about an ego. It's about wanting to impress people. And we're talking about, and we will continue to talk about on this podcast a lot about being present. So many people are busy being somewhere else except for here. They're thinking about the past, like the glory days in high school, how they were like the king and queen of the court or whatever it was, right? Homecoming queen, homecoming king. Or they're thinking about the future. These things are going to happen, the things that they need to do, and they're just not here. And this is proven point. We're in the car. I'm telling you, advising you, free of charge, how you can be a more successful person.
Okay, Chris, no, I did not wash my hair this morning. Fine.
It was just a random question.
The truth comes out.
I was just trying to pick something, the most banal, simple thing, and you couldn't just say, I'm a stinky, dirty girl. That's all I wanted to know.
No, that's not what I said. That is not what I said.
Because you didn't say anything.
No. Okay.
All right. So here's the key takeaway here, guys. It's been said, brevity is the soul of wit. Okay? Only give people things that they want. So if I just want a simple answer, give me a simple answer. If I'm in an interview situation, I would say, tell me more about this piece. Don't say, it's done. That's the opposite. What they want there is a more complicated explanation. They want to see how you think. But in a yes or no situation, is this task done? Is this task done? Yes, no, yes, no. That's all.
Okay.
Don't explain, because it just makes you feel like you're making up a story. And that's the thing that's going to hurt you. Now, Aaron, I know you have one more story. Let's all practice this right now. Everybody that's listening to this, especially the people in this room, just listen to Aaron's story, because I'm going to ask you a question about that story. I would love to talk about that story and not some story you want to bring up from like 20, 30 days ago or something. All right?
I'd just like to say, Cheryl, if you ever would like to talk about the intricacies of your hair washing, I'm always available.
Okay. Thank you.
You're so kind, John. Okay, now back to the story.
Okay.
Border crossing
right,
here.
Right. No, I know. Come on. Okay, so me and my buddy, we were going down to Mexico to have some fun over and down the beach. And we were there for a couple days. And then, so now we're on the way back, the return voyage. And we're a little kind of dirty and greasy. We haven't shaved, you know, the car's full of stuff.
Did you wash your hair?
Probably in the ocean, if that counts.
That doesn't not count.
It's a yes or no question.
Exactly. He was tested again.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, John.
You know, was that not a brief answer, though?
Sometimes, Chris, I think you and I are the only people in the room listening.
Sometimes.
No,
go on, Aaron.
No one's going to pass this class. We're all failing.
Please proceed, Aaron.
Go on.
Okay.
You're crossing over the border. You're a little dirty.
We're driving back now, and we hit the American border, Mexico to America. And my buddy's driving. I'm in the passenger side, and I got my hat on and some shades. And he takes his shades off, and he pulls up to the guy, and he's all perked up, and he's all like, hey, how's it going? And how you doing? And making jokes and giving
small talk.
Small talk. And then I can see the border crossing guy's face is like already a little bit like, this is different than the usual guy driving through here. Mm. And then the guy asks some simple questions like, what are you guys bringing with you? And my buddy answers, nothing that we didn't come in with. And then I could see his brows kind of furrow together. Like, that's a kind of an odd answer.
Yeah.
And then he asks him again, so what are you guys doing down there? And my buddy says, oh, we're shooting a calendar shoot for my buddy's bar. He owns a bar down there. We have some camera equipment, some memory cards, lenses, stuff like that. And then he's laughing. And then this, I just remember this part. The border guy asks him, you guys aren't shooting any child pornography, are you? And the guy's like, and my buddy's like, he laughs. And he's like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal in Mexico too, and laughs. And then the guy was like, I could see his face like, he had already made the decision that we're going to get the whole car searched. These guys are shady. And I was, because I was just sitting there totally probably making weird faces myself too, right? And then, so yeah, we get sent to the secondary thing. They pull us out of the car. They search the car, all kinds of stuff. And we were doing nothing wrong. And like, I told my friend after we were driving away, I'm like, dude, why'd you give those long, weird answers? Like, your vibe was so like suspicious and strange. What happened there? And he's like, was I weird? I was being chill, man. I was being friendly. And I'm like, nah, dude, you should have just given simple answers, man. Just one word answers. No, yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in here. Do you do a Spanish accent or a Mexican accent?
No.
Okay, it's fine.
It would turn out offensive.
Okay, listen, that sounds like everybody. A good one.
hold on.
I could do a good one too, but
okay. Well, let me jump in here. We all know when we're crossing the border what the Border Patrol people want. They need to know a few things. Are you an illegal person crossing? Are you bringing across anything that is also breaking a law? Drugs? What else? Guns or weapons? I don't know what they're...
People.
You're smuggling other people. That's really... Or you didn't commit a crime and you're a fugitive trying to run across the border. And so we know what they want. So sometimes they may not phrase it in a clear way. And that's, I think, done on purpose. Because people who are nervous and weird answer nervous and weird ways. They don't ask you a clear, straightforward question. But in the instance of, you guys weren't shooting child pornography over there, that was his last chance ticket for you guys to get out. I think he really wanted you to let you through. But in good conscience, he couldn't because you guys were acting so squirrely. When I say you guys, mostly your friend. Right? That's a yes or no kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a serious...
I think you need to clarify what your friend's ethnicity and dealing with.
Okay, so just for the record, I am a Latino and my buddy is black.
You look white. Okay. Of European descent.
Right, I'm a Mexican-European, I guess you could say, and my buddy is 100% black. He has long, curly hair. He hadn't shaved in a few days. His appearance was definitely...
But you guys were self-described a little sketchy.
Sketchy.
You've been right. In the sun, you're sunbaked, you know, salty. And
but if we were two white guys, you know, like Ryan Lochte or something, it'd be different.
That's a bad
sure.
example, but okay. Hold on. This isn't necessarily about... whether you two guys were two white dudes. It was the fact that you're being asked questions and you're giving super suspicious answers. And the reason why Cheryl brings this up, and I think you have a point of view on this here, is why didn't Aaron's African-American friend just give straightforward answers? And you were saying something.
I was saying because, you know, you had said that there are these different phases. First, they question you, and then they decide if they want to go to the next phase of really examining the contents of whatever you're carrying through, if they think there's something suspicious. And I'm saying, because your friend was a African-American, he knew by just the cop looking at him that he's already fell into you are suspicious category. And he'd moved on to the second phase, which is, let me explain the stuff in my bag. I mean, it was a given. The step number one, he already knew the answer to. So all he was trying to do was move on to step number two.
Kind of lighten the blow.
Yeah, he was just like, he was already on to step number two.
Wait, I don't understand this. He was ready for the strip search, right, on the first question?
Yeah, he was ready for
like, hands out the window, I'm ready to go?
Yes!
I think he was being empathetic in a way, right? He's thinking, I know I'm black and you probably think I'm shady, but so I'm trying to be even nicer, so maybe you don't think that as much.
Yeah, so he doesn't think that, like, I already know you think I'm probably guilty of something.
Right.
Doesn't that sound like overcompensating? Doesn't that sound like overcompensating? And
it,
makes you feel or appear to be guiltier than you are. Yeah. Really. Well, and I don't understand. Look, I'm obviously not black myself. And I have had funny run-ins with the law myself, right? But I don't operate every time I run into the law under the same thing that they must assume I'm part of the Asian triad, that I'm a gangbanger or anything like that. This was a simple thing. Like, I know Asians that are like this too. Believe it or not. I think they think they're smarter than they are, that they're wittier, that they're going to outfox everybody.
No,
but they're really
I don't think
not.
He was trying to
well, I'm not saying you're that. I don't know your friend. I'm just saying the people that I know, and I'm not going to mention that person's name, but one of my friends would probably do the same kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
And act kind of funny because they think they're so smart and slick. Like, they're so smooth.
No.
And the fact of the matter is, when you drove away, and you had said, dude, why did you do that? He goes, no, I was being super smooth. This was super easy and chill. Obviously, he has low self-awareness. He cannot read the situation. I'm telling you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Now, Cheryl's bringing up some things that may bring us into latent or kind of racism or implied and all these kinds of things. And I can't pretend to understand what it's like to be an African-American person in America, especially given the climate today, the kind of aggression that's shown towards minorities, especially African-Americans, and to kind of respond like, and I know this because I've seen videos on this before on the internet, is black men have to raise their sons to go above and beyond so they don't get shot in the street for doing nothing. And that's a sad state in America that we live in right now. Now, I don't want to drag that in because this is not a social political show. It's really talking about giving short answers and what it can do, what it can create for somebody in the other position, right? Now, you want to just delve lightly into the racism and the kind of conditioning?
Well, I was saying it probably wasn't the smartest idea anyway. I mean, it's probably...
You mean to go to Mexico?
No. Yeah, exactly.
Great time, by the way.
To dive into an extended explanation, you are just supposed to say yes or no, but your friend might have just been feeling kind of nervous, and he knew he this guy probably thinks I'm guilty, so let me just be friendly about it and try to explain about it. Like... You know, because he doesn't want to get accidentally shot because this guy.
You don't get accidentally shot at the border crossing.
Well,
there's too many witnesses.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to seem like he is threatening in any way.
You know what it's like?
Because you know what? Growing up, my dad was like, people will automatically assume because you're an African American, especially a male, the situation already is threatening. And they read all sorts of craziness into what you're doing.
Right.
So it's just like you have to be especially docile and nice,
right,
so people don't get, you know.
Well, you should play along. You should play along. Do not create tension and create drama where there is
no. Not. Yeah, but I'm saying he was trying to make it light and make it like
it wasn't working. He needs a new technique.
Yeah.
Good intent, poor execution.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Good idea. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Hold on, John. Hold on. This what you said triggers something in my mind. Chris Rock would say this on his stand-up routine. He's like, you know, black people, we cannot get second place. We always have to get first. You have to knock the guy out because the judge is going to score it wrong. This is what we're taught. You have to work not twice as hard. You have to work 10 times as hard to get your fair share. And I understand that's coming from a real place. Now, John, what do you want to say?
I was just going to say, in terms of your friend as well, if someone asks you if you were shooting child pornography, your answer should not be, oh, well, it's probably illegal here, right? It should be, no, we were not shooting
emphatic
child pornography.
No. Yeah. Emphatically,
an emphatic,
no.
Like, definitive no.
No question mark, no race. What's up, everybody? You are listening to The Future. I'm your host, Chris Doe. On today's episode, we're going to talk about brevity. You know, the opposite of being long-winded. As one of my former EPs used to say, ask me what time it is and I'll tell you how to make a watch. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I want to let you know how you can reach out to me. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm @thechrisdoe. You guys, I'm feeling like I'm in a pretty good mood today, even though I'm getting over this cough of mine. Maybe I have bronchitis, I don't know. If I sound different, that's why. Yesterday, we were having a stand-up meeting and talking about things we need to get done for the future. I don't mean that in a kind of metaphorical sense, really, literally, like we have to build a website, get email addresses set up. And I'm coming to Cheryl, and I'm like, okay, where are you on your task? And all I wanted to know from her was a yes or no. I did this, I didn't do this. And then Cheryl started getting into this whole giving me reasons. I've been doing this. I was distracted with that. I see your mouth is wide open right now. What do you want to say?
I'm not saying anything, Chris. I am.
Yes.
No, nothing. Please proceed. I have nothing to say at this moment. I will speak extensively in a little bit.
Okay, so we're in the car, mm-hmm. just to set the stage. And as we always are, you, me, and Aaron, we're driving out to our favorite watering hole. We eat at Tender Greens. And I had said, you know, I want to help prepare you to go out and sell. And you told me, I've never sold anything before, and this is going to be new. So I said to you, I need to prepare you, and I'm going to give you some critical feedback.
True.
Are you okay with hearing critical feedback, Cheryl?
Are you looking for a yes or no answer?
You okay?
I know you want a yes or no answer, Chris. I am trying so hard. Wait, where's my glass of water? I said
wait,
I have
look.
A prop.
Right, can you hear critical feedback? So.
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay. So that,
what a great
yes, you can.
Yes or no answer.
So, John, today, I think you're trying to make up for the last podcast where now you're paying attention because you might be made fun of or ridiculed later on. So the thing is, I can only coach you if you want to be coached. And some of that, unfortunately, is I have to give you some constructive, aka critical feedback. I want to know if you can handle it or not. I believe you can. So the first thing I said to you, and I'm saying to you now, is mm-hmm. when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to sell to them, first of all, let's assume a couple things. If you're talking to them, that means they have more money than you. Because if you're talking to somebody who has less money than you, you're wasting your time because they can't afford you. They're actually looking for a job from you. Okay?
Okay.
So they have more money. They're in a position of authority or power, whatever it is that you want, and you want something from them. And you have to realize that people have this also value their time.
True.
They don't have a lot of time. So when they ask you a question, they just want a really straightforward answer. Now.
Yeah, but you want to give them all the information so they can make the right decision.
No, I'll give you an example. Cheryl, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
This is a court of law, Cheryl, so you better answer honestly.
No.
Wait, what's your answer? No?
No.
Okay, so do you want to give me more information?
Well, that was an easy one because I have never been. That was one that had a gray area in it. There are lots of questions out there that have a gray area.
Do you want this job?
Yes.
That was a long pause, by the way.
What are you talking about? Okay.
Okay, so in the car.
Oh, there's that cough.
We'll edit that part out. Yeah? Are we putting it in? No. We'll edit it out. Okay. So in the car, I asked you, Cheryl, did you wash your hair?
Okay. That required an explanation because you're not supposed to shampoo your hair every day. You're supposed to put conditioning in it, wet and condition. And Chris,
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
I know.
What did you think right when he asked you that? What did you think?
Good question.
I felt like I need to explain the answer if I tell him yes or no because – first of all, I don't want to seem like I'm lying about it, so I need to make sure that we're on the same page when you say, did you wash your hair? So I felt like a yes or no answer would be deceptive in a way if we weren't considering, quote unquote, wash the same thing.
John has his hand on his mouth. Like, what is that about?
Would it benefit the audience if perhaps we did a role play situation of the events that happened so we could understand where Cheryl's coming from? I'd love to hear the question I was asked, and I'd love to hear.
No, that was literally it.
That was it.
That was exactly it, John.
Oh,
John.
Not quite a thrilling story.
Hey, watch your tongue.
I thought there was a little more. Okay, that's fine. That's okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had just told Cheryl that people in positions of power are asking very direct questions. They want a very direct answer.
Hold on.
You just cut me off here.
Sorry.
And you don't want to offer up more information than what is being asked of you. It's not being respectful of the person's time. You're not that interesting. I just got to say that, okay? And you're there to serve them and to help them. So you're like, yeah, I got it. So I just turned around immediately after, and Aaron, you could testify to whether or not this happened exactly like this. I turned around and said, Cheryl, did you wash your hair? And then Cheryl like paused for what seemed like an eternity and started saying what she just said. And Aaron and I were just laughing. Like, did you just not hear the advice you were given? Right, Aaron? Even you, Sleepy Castle, hashtag, could notice that right away. Like, she wasn't following along.
Yeah.
I was so...
Hold on. Let me talk.
I felt like what was happening there... When you asked the question to her, I felt like she and I heard a different question.
Oh.
I heard, like... Are you, like, is the reason the car stinks because you didn't wash your hair?
Oh.
Is that, or, like, your hair is ugly, right? Is it because you didn't wash it?
Subtext is playing a factor here.
She was answering that question.
Okay. So.
I felt like.
Is that coming from insecurity?
I think so.
What was that coming from, Cheryl?
Okay, that might have been part of it. The real part is I didn't want to seem like I wasn't telling you.
You're shaking the table and the mic.
No, we're good.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, don't do that.
Okay.
Hands off.
I wasn't telling you.
Was that what was happening?
That might have been part of it. Right. However, the main focus, the crux of the problem, of the reason why I then discarded your advice you gave me 2 seconds before, was because there are exceptions to every rule, and I felt like this perhaps was one, simply because I didn't want to seem like I would be lying to you if we didn't have the same definition of quote-unquote washed.
Okay.
I just had a very extensive conversation about washing versus shampooing with my hairdresser a couple of weekends ago. So I wanted to make sure.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You just had a conversation with your hairdresser a couple of weekends ago.
Surely.
And you want to tie that conversation into something very simple. Now, for the context of our audience, I just literally told you, don't do this, do this. It's going to help you in your sales process. And I was thinking, this is the simplest, dumbest test. I'm going to flip it right on you, right then and there. But instead of being there, listening, applying what you learned,
Okay. You
went back to a conversation 2 weeks ago. And I wasn't implying anything else except for to see if you could just answer a yes or no question. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. Hold on. Everybody's got the fingers in there. Put your fingers where they belong. Hold on 1 second. Okay? Aaron? You guys out there in the field, whether you're interviewing for a job, if you're talking to a prospect, if you're just trying to get a date or whatever, or maybe you meet, I don't know. You guys have a situation where you've been asked a question that required a very brief answer and you went on and on about something and it just makes you look bad. It makes you look guilty. It makes you feel, at least for me, I feel like you're not valuing my time and you're just into your own world. And I don't want to work with those kind of people. I'm just saying, from an employer's point of view, as a person who's talking to people, it's annoying. I just want to know what I want to know. And if I have a lot more interest, like, oh my God, tell me, oh, your hair must be a little different. For those of you guys that can't see, Cheryl, you're African-American. She has like a short crop.
It's natural fro.
Mini fro, I think we said.
Mini fro.
As the kids say these days.
Yeah.
Just in case the audience is like scratching their head, like, why is this such a complicated
Let's
answer?
Paint us a picture.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you guys, I'm going to give you advice, but then you have to be here. So Aaron or Cheryl or John, do you have a situation where you've been in where somebody should have just given a brief answer?
I actually have a funny story. It happened.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
I love funny
stories.
Okay,
go ahead.
It happened a couple of years back. I was on jury duty.
And, or someplace in the court system.
Or something to do with courts.
Something
who remembers,
in the courts,
right?
Someplace in the court system.
Yeah. So I was in the courtroom, and I think I was in trouble, actually. So I was part of the people that had to stand in front of the judge and plead guilty or not guilty so then they could process my case, whatever. So then we're all us people that want to talk to the judge there in a group in the courtroom, and the clerk comes by and he explains to us, like, this is just a preliminary thing. You just get up in front of the judge and you say guilty or not guilty.
You'll have your day in the court.
And you'll have your day in court to explain yourself, give evidence, have a lawyer, all that. But that's later. Today, just, you know, guilty, not guilty. So then this, like, old man gets up there and the judge asks him, so, you know.
How do you plead?
And he jumps into, okay, well, the thing is, like, that day was a bad day because this and that. And then the judge is like, just, you know, guilty, not guilty, please. And then but the thing is, like, I had to do these things that morning, so I had to park there, whatever. And the judge, I could see, was getting a little pissed off. And the clerk was, like, going covering his face. Like, my God, this guy's messing it up. And then, yeah, so that was.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second. Go ahead. I assume he was not the first person out to bat. Like a couple of people, guilty, not guilty, 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 not guilty, not guilty, right? And then there's a rhythm here. And the man steps up. Whether he's old or not doesn't really matter. And he starts going into an explanation, kind of like what Cheryl was doing.
Just dove right into
Pretty
it.
Pretty much.
He didn't even try
right.
to address
it. So hold on. You have your day in court too. So the judge gave him two or three opportunities to answer it the way he needed to answer it.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you believe in the judicial system of the United States of America, that's a whole different issue. Now I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think the feeling was like in that room? Like, how did you feel? How do you think the judge felt? The other people who were, like, trying to get on with their lives?
I think there was a mixed bag of emotions. I think some people were like me that was like, dude, they told you just guilty, not guilty. Just say that and get out of there. You're kind of wasting my time. You're wasting the judge's time. You didn't follow the instructions they just gave you. Like, you're messing it up here.
So what's the feeling, Aaron? That's not a feeling.
No,
you're just describing.
Like, I'm angry.
Angry?
I'm upset. I'm
frustrated.
Sure the judge
tireless.
Same. Yeah. The judge must have felt the same thing.
Okay. So none of these are positive emotions.
No, negative.
Okay. And whenever I hear a long explanation to a very short question, I start to assume guilt. You know, like when I ask, like, has anybody seen my thing? But dad, I was, and they get into the long explanation. I'm like, oh my God, that's the kid who took my thing. A yes or a no is all I wanted. And that's what happens. Okay, go ahead, Cheryl. You have
okay.
your day now.
But what I'm saying in our situation, Chris.
Well, first of all, are you listening to the conversation here? Or are you still
totally
stuck on some
listening.
Other conversation? Okay.
I might be stuck on the previous conversation.
Why don't you respond first to this court thing? I think you're stuck.
Is it related to this or is it not?
No, it's related to the thing that she wants to talk about. That's what it's related to.
Cheryl, I would just like to say I think your hair looks fantastic today.
Oh, thank you.
I think so too, by the way.
I put in lots of conditioner this morning.
Hey, cats. Come on, herd yourself in here.
Okay, so all I wanted to comment on was that it depends upon the situation. Like, perhaps in a court of law, you do exactly as the judge asked. If I am in front of a client, maybe you're like a salon. I want to impress with my knowledge about the different ways you can wash and condition your hair. So maybe I do launch into something that's a little bit more of an explanation of wash.
So you're
but
saying
perhaps I don't do that in front of a judge, you know? So
okay,
that's all I wanted to say.
But let me say this. Whether you guys realize this or not, those of you guys who are listening to this podcast, wherever you are, you don't realize this, but you're being judged all the time. And when you're talking about going in and doing a new business meeting, I don't want you to be judged as, and the feeling is frustration, anger, anxiety, and getting restless. Think about that, because you had admitted to me, Chris, I don't have any experience selling at all.
Okay.
I have 21 years of experience selling.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, you can do it your way. You could do it Bobby's way, Mary's way, or you can do it my way, or any way in between. That's okay. up to you. But if my experience proves to be true in some kind of guiding force here, I'm just letting you know, you are hanging yourself.
Right, so don't okay? say yes or no to an
right?
yes or no question.
You know, and you guys, if you haven't listened to this, it sounds this is like tangentially related to Not Going Past the Sale podcast. Listen to that one where we go really deep into Not Going Past the Sale, and you might learn who inspired that conversation. Who knows? Okay. Anyways, but getting back to this thing is your desire to explain supersedes the other person's interest. It just really is about you. And you had said it very clearly. I want to impress you with my knowledge of hair and shampoo and conditioning techniques. So who is that about? That's about an ego. It's about wanting to impress people. And we're talking about, and we will continue to talk about on this podcast a lot about being present. So many people are busy being somewhere else except for here. They're thinking about the past, like the glory days in high school, how they were like the king and queen of the court or whatever it was, right? Homecoming queen, homecoming king. Or they're thinking about the future. These things are gonna happen, the things that they need to do, and they're just not here. And this is proven point. We're in the car, I'm telling you, advising you, free of charge, how you can be a more successful person.
Okay, Chris, no, I did not wash my hair this morning. Fine.
It was just a random question.
The truth comes out.
I was just trying to pick something, the most banal, simple thing, and you couldn't just say, I'm a stinky, dirty girl. That's all I wanted to know.
No, that's not what I said. That is not what I said.
Because you didn't say anything.
No. Okay.
All right. So here's the key takeaway here, guys. It's been said, brevity is the soul of wit. OK, Okay? Only give people things that they want. So if I just want a simple answer, give me a simple answer. If I'm in an interview situation, I would say, tell me more about this piece. Don't say it's done. That's the opposite. What they want there is a more complicated explanation. They want to see how you think. But in a yes or no situation, is this task done? Is this task done? Yes, no, yes, no. That's all. Okay. Don't explain, because it just makes you feel like you're making up a story. And that's the thing that's going to hurt you. Now, Aaron, I know you have one more story. Let's all practice this right now. Everybody that's listening to this, especially the people in this room, just listen to Aaron's story, because I'm going to ask you a question about that story. I would love to talk about that story and not some story you want to bring up from like 20, 30 days ago or something. All right?
I'd just like to say, Cheryl, if you ever would like to talk about the intricacies of your hair washing, I'm always available.
Okay. Thank you.
You're so kind, John. Okay, now back to the story.
Okay.
Border crossing here.
No, I know. Come on. Okay, so me and my buddy, we were going down to Mexico to have some fun over and down the beach. And we were there for a couple days. And then, so now we're on the way back, the return voyage. And we're a little kind of dirty and greasy. We haven't shaved, you know, the car's full of stuff.
Did you wash your hair?
Mm. Probably in the ocean, if that counts.
That doesn't not count.
It's a yes or no question.
Exactly. But he was tested again.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, John.
You know? Was that not a brief answer, though?
Sometimes, Chris, I think you and I are the only people in the room listening.
Sometimes.
No,
go on, Aaron.
No one's going to pass this class. We're all failing.
Please proceed, Aaron.
Go on. Okay. You're crossing over the border. You're a little dirty.
We're driving back now, and we hit the American border, Mexico to America. And my buddy's driving, I'm in the passenger side, and I got my hat on and some shades, and he takes his shades off and he pulls up to the guy and he's all perked up and he's all like, hey, how's it going? And how you doing? And making jokes and giving
small talk.
Small talk. And then I can see the border crossing guy's face is like already a little bit like, this is different than the usual guy driving through here. Mm. And then the guy asks some simple questions like, what are you guys bringing with you? And my buddy answers, nothing that we didn't come in with. And then I could see his brows kind of furrow together, like that's a kind of an odd answer.
Yeah.
And then he asks him again, so what are you guys doing down there? And my buddy says, oh, we're shooting a calendar shoot for my buddy's bar. He owns a bar down there. We have some camera equipment, some memory cards, lenses, stuff like that. And then he's laughing. And then this, I just remember this part. The border guy asks him, you guys aren't shooting any child pornography, are you? And the guy's like, and my buddy's like, he laughs and he's like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal in Mexico too, and laughs. And then the guy was like, I could see his face, like he had already made the decision that we're gonna get the whole car searched. These guys are shady. And I was, cause I was just sitting there totally, probably making weird faces myself too, right? And then, so yeah, we get sent to the secondary thing. They pull us out of the car. They search the car, all kinds of stuff. And we were doing nothing wrong. And like, I told my friend after we were driving away, I'm like, dude, why'd you give those long, weird answers? Like your vibe was so like suspicious and strange. What happened there? And he's like, was I weird? I was being chill, man. I was being friendly. And I'm like, nah, dude, you should have just given simple answers, man. Just one word answers. No, yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here. Do you do a Spanish accent or a Mexican accent?
No.
Okay, it's fine.
It would turn out offensive.
Okay. That sounds like everybody. A good one.
hold on.
I could do a good one too, but
okay, well, let me jump in here. We all know when we're crossing the border what the Border Patrol people want. They need to know a few things. Are you an illegal person crossing? Are you bringing across anything that is also breaking a law? Drugs? What else? Guns or weapons? I don't know what they're...
People.
You're smuggling other people. That's really... Or you didn't commit a crime and you're a fugitive trying to run across the border. And so we know what they want. So sometimes they may not phrase it in a clear way. And that's, I think, done on purpose. Because people who are nervous and weird answer nervous and weird ways. They don't ask you a clear, straightforward question. But in the instance of, you guys weren't shooting child pornography over there, that was his last chance ticket for you guys to get out. I think he really wanted you to let you through. But in good conscience, he couldn't because you guys were acting so squirrely. When I say you guys, mostly your friend, right? That's a yes or no kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a serious.
I think you need to clarify what your friend's ethnicity and dealing with.
Okay, so just for the record, I am a Latino and my buddy is black.
You look white. of European descent.
Right, I'm a Mexican-European, I guess you could say, and my buddy is 100% black. He has long, curly hair. He hadn't shaved in a few days. His appearance was definitely...
But you guys were self-described a little sketchy.
Sketchy.
You've been right. In the sun, you're sunbaked, you know, salty. And
but if we were two white guys, you know, like Ryan Lochte or something, it'd be different.
That's a bad
sure.
example, but okay. Hold on. This isn't necessarily about whether you two guys were two white dudes. It was the fact that you're being asked questions and you're giving super suspicious answers. And the reason why Cheryl brings this up, and I think you have a point of view on this here, is why didn't Aaron's African-American friend just give straightforward answers? And you were saying something.
I was saying because, you know, you had said that there are these different phases. First, they question you, and then they decide if they want to go to the next phase of really examining the contents of whatever you're carrying through, if they think there's something suspicious. And I'm saying because your friend was a African-American, he knew by just looking at him that he's already fell into you are suspicious category. And he'd moved on to the second phase, which is, let me explain the stuff in my bag. I mean, it was a given. The step number one, he already knew the answer to. So all he was trying to do was move on to step number two.
Kind of lighten the blow.
Yeah, he was just like, he was already on to step number two.
Wait, I don't understand
suspicious.
This. He was ready for the strip search, right, on the first question?
Yeah, he was ready for
like, hands out the window, I'm ready to go?
Yes!
I think he was being empathetic in a way, right? He's thinking, I know I'm black and you probably think I'm shady, but so I'm trying to be even nicer, so maybe you don't think that as much.
Yeah, so he doesn't think that, like, I already know you think I'm probably guilty of something.
Right.
Doesn't that sound like overcompensating? Doesn't that sound like overcompensating? And
it,
makes you feel or appear to be guiltier than you are. Yeah. Really.
Well,
and I don't understand. Look, I'm obviously not black myself. And I have had funny run-ins with the law myself, right? But I don't operate every time I run into the law under the same thing that they must assume I'm part of the Asian triad, that I'm a gangbanger or anything like that. This was a simple thing. Like, I know Asians that are like this too. Believe it or not. I think they think they're smarter than they are, that they're wittier, that they're going to outfox everybody.
No,
but they're really
I don't think
not.
He was trying to outfox
well, I'm not saying
him.
You're that. I don't know your friend. I'm just saying the people that I know, and I'm not going to mention that person's name, but one of my friends would probably do the same kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
And act kind of funny because they think they're so smart and slick, like they're so smooth.
No.
And the fact of the matter is, when you drove away, and you had said, dude, why did you do that? He goes, no, I was being super smooth. This was super easy and chill. Obviously, he has low self-awareness. He cannot read the situation, I'm telling you. Now, Cheryl's bringing up some things that may bring us into latent or kind of racism mm-hmm. or implied and all these kinds of things. And I can't pretend to understand what it's like to be an African-American person in America, especially given the climate today, the kind of aggression that's shown towards minorities, especially African-Americans. And to kind of respond like, and I know this because I've seen videos on this before on the internet, is black men have to raise their sons to go above and beyond so they don't get shot in the street for doing nothing. And that's a sad state in America that we live in right now. Now, I don't want to drag that in because this is not a social political show. It's really talking about giving short answers and what it can do, what it can create for somebody in the other position. Right? Now, you want to just delve lightly into the racism and the kind of conditioning?
Well, I was saying it probably wasn't the smartest idea anyway. I mean, it's probably...
You mean to go to Mexico?
No. Yeah, exactly.
Great time, by the way.
To dive into an extended explanation, you are just supposed to say yes or no, but your friend might have just been feeling kind of nervous, and he knew this guy probably thinks I'm guilty, so let me just be friendly about it and try to explain about it. Like, you know, because he doesn't want to get accidentally shot because this guy
You don't get accidentally shot at the border crossing.
Well,
there's too many witnesses.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to seem like he is threatening in any way.
You know what it's like?
Because you know what? Growing up, my dad was like, people will automatically assume because you're an African-American, especially a male, the situation already is threatening. And they read all sorts of craziness into what you're doing.
Right.
So it's just like you have to be especially docile and nice,
right?
So people don't get, you know.
Well, you should play along. You should play along. Do not create tension and create drama where there is
no. None. Yeah, but I'm saying he was trying to make it light and make it like.
It wasn't working. He needs a new technique.
Yeah.
Good intent, poor execution.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Good idea. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Hold on, John. Hold on. This what you said triggers something in my mind. Chris Rock would say this on his stand-up routine. He's like, you know, black people, we cannot get second place. We always have to get first. You have to knock the guy out because the judge is going to score it wrong. This is what we're taught. You have to work not twice as hard. You have to work 10 times as hard to get your fair share. And I understand that's coming from a real place. Now, John, what do you want to say?
I was just going to say, in terms of your friend as well, if someone asks you if you were shooting child pornography, your answer should not be, oh, well, it's probably illegal here, right? It should be, no, we were not shooting child pornography.
No, emphatically, yeah,
an emphatic, like, definitive no.
No question mark, no raising the voice, no cracking the voice.
It's not an opening for a funny joke.
Yeah, yeah, that child pornography is never a punchline.
Not a funny.
It's not like you're on the stand-up comedy hour where you're like, child pornography, right, guys? What? Are you with me?
What's the deal with child pornography?
Exactly. Okay. Is that your Seinfeld? That.
That's the Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit.
I thought it's not bad.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you understand, you guys, when you're working with people, don't think about you. Don't think about trying to impress them. Just give people what they want. In some cases, they want a long explanation. They want a big story. And in some instances, they just want a really brief answer because they have to go through a mental checklist. And if you go on your own path and your own tangent, I start to imagine, I wonder what it's going to be like to work with Cheryl or Jimmy or Bobby. And that's not a person I think I want to work with because they're going to suck up all my time. You're doing yourself a disservice. In the same way that your friend Bobby or whatever his name is, he was trying to like comply and be like loose and easygoing, he was making it difficult for the agent to do his job, so they got full cavity body search or whatever. And in a case like when you're out there trying to sell, Cheryl, and somebody asks you a question, be very clear with the answer and make it as short as possible, okay? Because they're gonna imagine, what's it gonna be like month 2, 3, 4, 9 with you, John?
Yeah, and I think it should be important, like when someone asks for a yes or no answer, I think we're playing just a little loosely with that, because keep it as short as possible with the most amount of information. Like keep it meaty, but no fat on that steak.
What you know, the heck you know, did you just say?
You know what? Aaron gets it.
No. Of course he gets it, because you two are thick as thieves. That was like some kind of Trump answer.
You need to keep it yes, and if you're gonna add on to it, make sure the information is relevant and important.
Very tight. Very tight.
Very tight.
Okay.
You know what
Let's
I'm saying?
Think about this.
Thank you, Aaron.
I'm going to browbeat both of you right now.
Okay. What does that mean?
Hold on.
You're going to beat my brow?
I'm going to browbeat both of you right now.
Yeah.
So listen to me. Listen to me, you guys. Listen up. Lean into the radio here.
Leaning in.
Okay. Do you want to take advice from the gentleman to my left and the gentleman to my right about how to answer this question? Or do you want to take advice from a guy who's hired dozens, if not 100 people in my life? Really, I interview students, candidates, staff, freelancers all the time. I'm telling you what it's like to be on this side. You can choose to be right. You can choose to be popular. You can choose to be comfortable. But if you want the job, you want to get the job done, I'm telling you right now, those kind of answers, these two guys are like high-fiving virtually each other right now, who knows what else they're doing, is you can do it their way, and that's okay. And if it's working for you, more power to you, Godspeed. Just do it.
I wish someone would have told me that you could choose to be popular in high school. That would have been really
Didn't
nice.
Try?
I tried a little bit. Okay. Didn't work out too
Maybe because you weren't listening and busy telling people what it is they didn't want to hear.
You're right.
Right? So somebody might have come up to you crossing the hallway and say, John, what's up? Well, let me tell you about Spider-Man. And, you know.
Excuse me. That's not exactly what my voice was like. Thank you very much.
You mean you had more of a marble in your mouth than...
Look, the ladies were not super interested in me, but that's totally fine.
All right. Let's get back on track. All right. So we're talking about brevity. Go ahead. You want
to
say something?
Because when you did your... there were like three levels to your thing, and you were going to end it with be comfortable. but then you kind of like, be comfortable. Could you just say it again?
I was waiting for the rule of thirds on that one.
There was three. You could be liked. You could be, what was the, I forgot.
Popular, now. I believe, the second
popular,
one.
Popular. And you could be comfortable. Or you could just get the job done. You can get the job done. And I vote for getting the job done. Because being right, comfortable, liked, popular, all those things don't really matter. I want to close the deal. I want to get the job. I want to get the promotion. I want to get the date. I want to get the last ticket in Willy Wonka. That's all I really want. Right? So when somebody says to you, do you want $1 million? I feel like some of you guys would sit there and say, well, what are the strings attached?
Exactly.
Right. And I'll take the money and I'll give it to somebody else. Okay? That's just the bottom line. Is there a differing point of view? I don't know. That's my thought on it. Did we put this issue to bed, ladies and gentlemen? What else do you guys want to say?
Yes!
No. You don't have to coach him to say yes. This was not a test, really. Honestly, did we put the question to bed? Because step one is for you to be present and to not drag out a conversation because you're wasting your potential client's time.
I gave you my one more answer. I want my A now. Yes.
That was great. That was great, Cheryl.
The way
you said yes and then immediately stopped talking, amazing.
I know. Amazing. I got it. Got this.
Now, Aaron, you seem to be deep in thought right now.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how'd you know that?
How do I know what?
That I was thinking about something.
It's obvious, dude. It's in your
face. We could see it on your face.
Okay.
God. It was great.
You're not as smooth as you think you are.
Definitely
and
not.
I think your thoughts betray your face and your body. So you have to mind your thoughts.
I like to think it's just, you know, I'm just a genuine, straightforward dude. But anyways, like, the thing I wanted to say was, well, you invited me one time to go to a planning session with the people from Tango.
Yes.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah, you can say that.
They were like these very large, tall, powerful guys. And a lot of them had really big personalities, and the CEO guy was the same way. He had like a really big booming voice. They were all pretty scary guys. But then the main CEO guy, when anyone was explaining something, if he agreed, he'd just say yes, and just, he would never break eye contact. He would just say yes, and the person would keep speaking, and then he'd say yes, and then he would just say, like, I agree with you. He didn't add anything to it. It's just, you get what I'm saying, we can move on. And that's where I learned, where, like, just say one word answers to make, you know, yes or no, move to the next thing. And then I just thought that was something to add there. Did that make sense or no?
It did make sense, but let me kind of add some nuance to that.
Please.
When you look into a room and the person who's fidgeting about and who's saying a lot of things and creating a lot of commotion, I want you to picture that person in your mind right now. And then you see a person who's sitting rather still, looking in a pensive way, and from time to time either gestures or utters a word or two, and you say, like, who's important in this room? Who's more powerful in this room? And who do you say?
Yeah, that guy that doesn't talk much and just...
You see what I'm saying? And if you take it back to medieval times and like the, whatever that is, the king's palace, the jester is the one who's goofing around. The king just sits there and he observes and he watches. And that works to your advantage. That's the thing of power. So I think there's a channel on this whole thing of the art of charisma. And it just, like, you don't have to sit there and say so much. Because the more you say, the more you just hang yourself.
Yeah.
Don't feel compelled to fill the air with nonsense. If you don't have something important to contribute, don't say anything. That's why he said yes and he didn't say more. He's not trying to prove anything to anybody. He just said, yes, I agree. Or no, I do not.
He sounds fun at parties.
What?
That was sarcasm. He does not sound fun at parties.
That's funny you say that, isn't it? The jesters, he's the definition of fun at parties.
Mm. But if he makes one bad joke, it's off with his head.
Off with his...
Exactly. At a party, you don't want someone just says yes or no. And I think you're trying to be social when you say something more than yes or no. You're not just trying to waste people's time. You're just trying to get to know people.
Well, it's totally different context, right?
Correct.
Totally different.
Look, this podcast is not called the Dinner Party Download. That's a different channel on a podcast.
What if it was, guys?
Right? And then you can tune into that podcast, and they teach you social etiquette. And this is not about social etiquette. I'm just talking about...
This is about business etiquette.
Selling.
Business.
Okay.
Yeah, right? What is this about? Let's
What is what about?
You're wrap asking that 27 together, minutes in?
Tied into what we always are, our pillars, real quick.
Oh, okay. The topics of the show tend to focus on one of four things. We talk about business, branding, design, and user experience, and the where these things cross over. And those are our pillars. So we're not sitting here talking about how to mend relationships or how to take care of animals or train disobedient children, whatever it is. This is not that show. So let's not blur those lines together and say these are rules you apply everywhere in your life. But generally speaking, I want to leave it on this final thought. I've just been recently exposed to a very kind of top-ranked business coach. His name is Jay Abram. And I think Jay was telling this story, and if I get this wrong again, internet, correct me, is that he was going to go and speak at a seminar, right? He checks into his hotel room, and he can't sleep. So it's like late at night, and he goes downstairs into the hotel lobby, and he sees a guy sitting there. So he does what he does. So he walks up to the guy, and aside from telling him his name, his title, and what he's doing next day speaking, he just asks that guy a lot of questions. At the end of the night when he's going to go back up, the guy he was talking to turns to the business coach and he says, you know, you're one of the most interesting people I've met in the last 5 years. And so Jay walks up, goes up the escalator or elevator, and he was thinking to himself, boy, I just asked him a few questions and I really didn't say much. And yet he had this thing. And first he was kind of thinking about, like, why is that? Well, he came to this conclusion. You know, if you want to be an interesting person, you have to be interested in people. Nobody likes a blabbermouth. They're talking about, you know, himself or whatever it is. Just, you know, that expression, full of hot air. All you're doing is just like diarrhea of the mouth on blah, 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 blah. So if you look at the quality of the content that's being created or the ideas that you're sharing, you're just filling up dead space. That's all you're doing. So I'm asking you guys, guys in front of me right now, and the people who are listening to this, try to see if you can catch yourself. Are you contributing to the conversation in a meaningful way when prompted to, or are you just kind of just going off and giving long-winded explanations that nobody's interested in? And you'll know this at parties when people try to make excuses, go to the bathroom or get a drink. You're really not that interesting because you're only interested in speaking. That's it. Well, thanks for tuning in, you guys. As always, I'm Chris.
I'm John Roth.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Aaron.
Peace out.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in and listening to us and spending a part of your day with me. Really appreciate it. And I want to talk a little bit about how we're able to do this. So the future is made possible by some of our lovely sponsors and partners, one of which is Pond5.com. If you guys need to get some stock footage, After Effects presets, Pond5 is the place to go. And the future is also made possible by Matthew Encina, Greg Gunn, Scott Rothstein, Nicole Wasserman, and the entire Blind staff, which I would not be able to do fun stuff like this and spend the day with you without their support because they run the business for me. The man behind the scene, the man with the plan, Aaron Zakelli. He's responsible for recording this, engineering it, doing the sound design, the editing. He pretty much makes this podcast possible. You can find him online as well. And of course, I have to thank Adam Sanborn, the person who composed and wrote the piece of music that you're listening to. You can find him at adamsanborn.com.